really hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
This is the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and I have on with me, as always in these previews, Jacob Harris. Jacob, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book? Dang, put me on the spot. One that I've read like five times, and I'll probably read again pretty soon, is To Kill a Mockingbird. It's an all-time classic, one of my favorites.
Wow, I think everybody reads To Kill a Mockingbird in elementary or maybe middle school. Elementary, middle school, or
it was,
high school.
I read it in high school and I really liked it, so that's probably...
And yeah, the only person to still continue reading it is Jacob. Excellent. Then on the other side of the horn, we've got Tyler Lucas, our resident hot takes lad. Tyler, what is your favorite smell?
My favorite smell? Oh, man. Definitely not one of my kids' diapers. Like, that's a terrible smell. I would have to say, you know, when you wake up early in the morning and you're gonna smoke one of your for the barbecue, when your barbecue meats, whether that be pork, beef, or chicken, when you start that process with the coals, and you put that first layer of wood on there, that's my favorite smell, when that wood starts burning.
Wrong. We were looking for bacon, but that's pretty close. No, that's interesting. And of course, we're supported by our editor and producer, Dylan Smythe, who will always be absent in these pods. He's present, but never with us. God, let's get it. It's week two. We are riding high as you can be after defeating an FCS team in Montana State. If you guys haven't heard that, be sure to check the Air Raid Podcast's previous episodes. We have them available anywhere you're looking or anywhere you get them, anywhere you subscribe. On our website, as always. But that's not our job here. Our job is look forward. We are forward-looking on this podcast. We are a preview podcast, and this week we are previewing probably a team that is worse than Montana State, and we'll get to that in a little bit. UTEP. Okay. Tyler, what are your first thoughts when I say UTEP?
So, yeah, I mean, they are definitely the worst team in Division I football in the state of Texas, but they're definitely one of the worst teams as well in the group of five. There's not a lot to like here. They're in the middle of a rebuild, and I think I equated it in my preview, which will be going up on Thursday morning. I equated it to they were a program with no sense of direction, a losing program with no sense of direction, to now a losing program waiting on the MapQuest directions to print out and a compass that never points right. So that's where they're at.
So you said that they're in a rebuilding process. Can you speak a little more to that? I'm sure 99% of people that listen to this have no idea what UTEP football is up to.
Yeah, so they're led by their second year head coach, Dana Dimmel, and he coached under Bill Snyder at Kansas State for nearly 20-something years, almost 30 years. So he's been around, and he's done some rebuilding at Wyoming and Houston, but he definitely took on this project. I think he's probably... the guy that they just was probably the only guy that applied and interviewed. So obviously he got the job, but they just had to rebuild all the way through. They're coming off a couple of years where they had Aaron Jones as a bright spot, and that still didn't work out. But they're equating to the power run, and they almost lost to Houston Baptist team, which is so terrible. So, they're in a total rebuild at this stage of their, at Dana Dimmel's, career.
Jacob, when I say UTEP, you say
who?
Okay. That was really good. I appreciate that.
yeah. I mean, Like, you know the name, but I look at the roster and I'm like, who? Brandon Jones, who? I got this guy ran for 144 yards. Never heard of him before. I mean, and is it going to matter? I mean, Brandon, their quarterback threw 50% completions against an FCS team that's not very good. Okay? He threw an interception against an FCS team that's not very good. I mean, I don't know. I just, we're talking about their direction, their rebuild direction. I don't see them have, they don't have a direction. I mean, their quarterbacks are all seniors from NAIA schools or Division II JUCO schools that have no business being up here. Their only bright spot going into the season was Kyle Loxley, but it looks like he got arrested. He's back on the team now, but they didn't give him his starting quarterback job back, so we no clue what they're doing over there. But yeah, who? Yeah. That's my answer.
Woo. This is the OWL podcast presented by Jacob Harris. So UTEP obviously going through a very tough time, but already this year it's looking a lot more promising than it was last year. Beating Houston Baptist, they've matched their wins from last season, which was a grand total of one. And with the number of games left, you got to think that they're just hoping that they could double it. And I, as a coach, I think that's really all you can ask for is just doubling your wins each season until you hit that beautiful, 10 win mark. But at that rate, or at this rate, UTEP's going to be taking a long time. So, yeah, let's talk about something that I looked up earlier. There's a lot of controversy, I'll say, in the statistics. One statistic I rely on is ESPN's S&P rankings that come out. And I can't remember the guy who writes them up.
Bill Connolly.
Bill Connolly. Yeah, a semi-genius of a man. Probably not very personable. Personable, but boy, he knows his stuff. So after week one, Texas Tech, we moved up to 31st, which is fantastic. I like when we're in top 50 in offense, and I especially like when we're in the top 50 in defense. I really hope that continues. Of course, we just played Montana State, so nobody get too excited. But that being said, if you scroll all the way down, and I mean all the way down to dead last, 130th place, you have UTEP. UTEP is the worst ranked school in the S&P rankings right now. Offensively, they're ranked 98th, but defensively, it's 128th. So there's at least two schools that are worse than them on defense. But on average, I guess ESPN's S&P, Connolly just thinks that UTEP is trash, which gives me a lot of credence to believe that Montana State might have been more of a challenge, and I guess we'll really find that out. But let's take a look at a couple of trends that we were able to garner from their first game against Houston Baptist. Did either of you take any time to watch that game or to review that game at all?
What game? was it even televised?
I can't answer that for you.
It was streamed on Stadium.
Ah, yes. So the answer to that question is no, I did not watch that.
The football connoisseur's choice streaming platform. Here's some big things that I picked up because I made the disaster watching highlights and looking at the box score. First thing that stuck out to me was their third down efficiency is awful. The third down efficiency is awful. They had less than half, if I remember correctly, out of a number of attempts, which is never encouraging for a team. I would say that they're very prone to penalties. And the Houston Baptist game had 6 penalties for 75 yards. And I imagine coming into, and this is when they're at home. So I imagine coming into Lubbock, a team like this that's going through this whole rework phase, trying to get accustomed to a new scheme. And of course, we said 2 years in, but 2 years of loss, or 1 year of full loss, and a 2 year of who knows what. It's difficult to transition to the schemes, to new schemes and such like that. UTEP does look, however, to dominate time of possession. It's something they were able to do over Houston Baptist last weekend, and I think that could be in part a large piece of why they ended up winning, is because they were able to get that ball towards the end and kind of run out the clock and secure a victory over Houston Baptist. But as far as we're concerned, Houston Baptist was just steamrolling them in a number of stats, and UTEP was lucky to get out of there alive. So I think that's just the best brief overview you can look at UTEP with. So let's look into, or actually, Tyler, do you have anything extra? Do you have anything that I've really missed? Third downs. They suck at third
down. No, I mean, really what you covered is exactly kind of what my game preview is. The only thing I would add is that you're looking at a team that's heavy rushing with Trayvon Hughes, who had a career day of 144 yards and two touchdowns Saturday. I think he's pretty talented, honestly. And they do have an offensive line. And of course, you know, I take into account that, you know, you got to respect your opponent a little bit. But by and large, that's really the strength of this team. So if you cut him out, really, and you make Brandon Jones try to beat you with his arm, I think this is the week that Texas Tech could probably force a couple turnovers. I know Matt Wells was a little frustrated that there were no turnovers forced, but I think this is a week that you can take out the strength of a team and generate some turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. I also think when you sum up an ugly program, points per game being 17 versus giving up nearly 30 points and only scoring more than 30 points on offense twice in a season, that's just ugly. That's just terrible. That's like pairing a really anemic offense with one of the worst Tech defenses and giving it a go, and that's a recipe for disaster.
It's like macaroni and cheese with tuna. That's awful.
Why would you do that?
Right. So I think it's a good idea, or it's good that you brought up turnovers. I noticed that they committed two turnovers with Houston Baptist, one being a fumble, one being an interception. So I really hope that this week we're able to get into the whole turnover business, because I know that's something that Patterson really wanted to hone in on with this unit, with a number of schemes that they have to kind of discombobulate the whole offensive structure of our opponents. And it's built to create turnovers. So I can understand why against a team like Montana State, they were frustrated that it didn't result in that. But to be fair, Casey Ballman weren't really throwing the ball all over the place either. So let's take a look at a couple of key players for UTEP going into the game. I've just written down kind of like the main contributors of their game against Houston Baptist, who we can assume with all absolute certainty for a team like this, that these are going to be their guys going forward. At the quarterback position, we have, and you mentioned him earlier, Jacob, Brandon Jones, who's a senior right now. He went basically half, 10 for 20 of his pass attempts, completed for 268 yards. One touchdown in that, and then one interception. Really not awful stats for somebody at a place like this. It's kind of why they go to a place like this. He will shine in his own respect, but overall, no, it's awful stats, man. That's just terrible. Jacob, do you have anything more about Brandon Jones? Anything that we should know?
They like to run him. I don't know why. He's not a very good running quarterback. To be completely honest. Size? I mean, he's decently sized. I mean, I just don't see why they really like. I don't know why they haven't tried Kyle Loxley out there yet. They will this week, I'm sure. Okay.
They will after at what point? When we're up,
I think,
you know, 23
yeah,
scores,
I think,
four scores.
I think once it hits Jackson Tyner time.
Ah, shoot.
Once it hits hashtag time. I think they'll trot out Kyle Loxley. He might give him a touchdown, and then they'll realize what they've been doing wrong and put Loxley in there permanently. But I don't know. I just don't see much from him.
Look, let's take a reflecting moment here, since Jacob had to bring up his homeboy Tyner.
Tyner,
We have to make shirts.
Here. What Here's the question of the week. What happened to Jed Duffy?
All right. Anybody. I'll take the first crack at this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matt Wells realized he's a running back that can throw at 60 yards not accurately. And Tyner's a quarterback that can throw it kind of accurately. So I figured he'd try it out Tyner at first.
Could he, though? I mean, in a couple of possessions he had in the last game, it looked like he didn't know how to throw a ball at all. I felt like I could throw it better. And I throw ducks for a living. Like, it's awful.
Yeah, but, I mean, here's my thing. Okay, if we're down by 17 in a game, we need a backup quarterback. Put Duffy in there, right? He's a great athlete. But if you need someone to go in there, run some clock down, make some good decisions, not throw away the ball, Tyner's your guy. I feel like Matt Wells is really, really focused on taking care of the ball, especially from his quarterbacks. And as we all know, that's just not something Duffy does well. All right, he's a great athlete. He can chunk the ball. All right, he's got an arm. Okay, not very accurate, but he's got an arm. And it's just, I just don't know.
Mr. Texas football reduced to behind a mannequin. Yeah, you know you're bad when you end up behind a mannequin of a player.
I feel like Wells goes with consistency over flashiness, and that's why.
I won't argue with that. Tyler, you have any added insights at all? You don't have to. I'm
5'0", 100-0. I've never been any some sort of athlete, so I try to take it kind of lightly. Saying anything about somebody like outright sucking, but yeah, I really do think that it comes down to consistency, like Jacob said. I mean, we saw what flashes you can get from Jed Duffy. He's great, and I think he's just a product of being better than everybody else, a better athlete on the field. And that's absolutely no knock on him. He's a great athlete. He was a better athlete in high school than everybody else he played. So he looked dominant. And then when you get into a big, a Division I program, a Big 12 program, and the concepts are a little bit, and everything's faster, and the concepts are more complex, and you've got to get the ball out, and you've got to understand where you're throwing, and where's your second read, and where's your third read, and you've got to know where they're at. I think of a Texas Tech quarterback, I think of a 2020 or something episode of Mike Leach, and they did the helmet cam with Graham Harrell, and he did three reads in a matter of milliseconds. Like, he knew where to throw the ball. And yes, Graham Harrell was great, but it's because he knew conceptually where that wide receiver needed to be. And he knew how to read a defense. And I think Jet does not have that yet.
So maybe Wells just seeing that.
Absolutely.
Duffy doesn't really have the football IQ that he needs at this stage in his career.
You can call it foosball. It's okay.
Foosball. We're not going to judge. Foosball. No, I could agree with that. I could see that. It's just curious for me because this is a member of our team who's gone through coaching changes. Who has gone through a number of adversities in his career, both on and off the field, and has been given second chances. And in some games, he's proven to be quite the leader, and he's, you know, been able to keep us in or get us back to a state of competitiveness. And in other games, you know, he's run with the ball like a loaf of bread, and then a defender comes up and swats it out, and then it goes, you know, ends up being their ball in like R10. And it's just the inconsistencies kind of get under a lot of Tech fans. Get under their skin. Yeah. So I understand the frustrations, but I'm curious to see what Jet does at this moment. We'll see if he gets played at all in the UTEP game. If he is going to play any this season, it's going to start this game. With the team being worse, probably statistically, than UTEP, Montana State, you have to expect the lesser players to get more play time. So if Tyner ends up coming in before Duffy again, then I imagine Duffy may start considering alternative routes. Oh, okay. Tangent over. Let's talk about the running backs. This, like you mentioned, Jacob, and you'll all be able to read in Tyler's preview. This is a very run-heavy team, and I imagine that comes off of a necessity, maybe more than a scheme, but also maybe a scheme. So right now, the two main running backs that they're kind of deciphering through are a senior, Trayvon Hughes. I've heard it actually two different ways. Last game, he had 144 yards with two touchdowns. This is kind of their heavyweight back. He's definitely got the 4 years of collegiate athletics on him. It's like 200-something pounds. Just kind of a bigger guy who, in an interview post Houston Baptist, said that he just likes getting the ball because he recognizes he's a much larger guy than a lot of people that UTEP is used to playing. So it's easier for him. But I imagine those comments are going to kind of bite him in the ass this week when we have people like Rico Jeffers, Jordan Brooks, hell, even Douglas Coleman will really go helmet to helmet with him, but not get a targeting. So I think that Trayvon Hughes may be in for something this week. And then behind him, or maybe next to him in the depth chart, we're not sure yet, is Josh Fields. This is a sophomore. He's a much lighter back. I think he's at least 30, 40 pounds lighter than Trayvon. But he's definitely got the speed behind him to kind of make up for that proportionally. And in the game against Houston Baptist, he saw the ball about seven times, got 61 yards. So we can kind of see that UTEP loves to mix up the run game with multiple backs, and that's including the quarterback. And in their Houston Baptist game, they averaged 5 yards per rush. Do you guys think that they'll see that same production this week when they go against a, I would say, significantly better defensive front than Houston Baptist? Jacob?
I'm going to go with no, and here's why. I think Montana State, I think their running attack's better than UTEP's. I think Trayvon Hughes is a good back. I think he's Aaron Jones light. Okay. He's got some of the same qualities, but he's just not as good as Aaron Jones. I feel like they'll get probably about 150 rushing yards total, and that's just because they run the ball so much, but I don't think they'll have anywhere near the same amount of success. I just feel like they can't sustain that kind of success against an actual defense. So, yeah.
Tyler?
Jacob, do you think they cracked the 200 total?
No. No.
Rushing?
I think they'll get to 150. That's about it.
Yeah. I'm going to give them 200 just based on the fact that I think, I don't know. I think this is the week that you're able, if you're talking defense, I think you're able to build off of what you started with Montana State, but also throw a few wrinkles in there, if I'm making any more sense, for Arizona's prep. Again, I don't think Arizona prep needs to be in anybody's mind because – God help them. Kevin Sumlin's got a task on his hand. He needs to focus on this week rather than next week against Texas Tech. But I think this is the week where you kind of experiment some. And I think with that, you're going to have to focus on one aspect, which is stopping the running back or the running back position. And that may free up Brandon Jones scamper some. So I'm going to go ahead and give him 200 yards total rushing. I think where their defense is going to, or our defense is going to, again, be something of a factor is they're going to get some takeaways because you're going to make Brandon Jones beat us with his arm or his legs. And he's going to try to force some throws. And I think that's going to, decide if he's going to play past the halftime or not. And I think this one gets out of hand pretty quickly. Considering, you know, Matt Walsh, that coaches their defensive line, we all know kind of what to expect there. So This one's going to get out of hand.
Yeah, that's an interesting take, Tyler, and I would just step on that with all my might because I don't believe that UTEP has the sophistication of Montana State's running scheme, both in just the establishment of it. They haven't really had this for they may be trying new run schemes because Jacob's right. It's just not developed as well. They're taking a lot of there's just a lot of I'm trying to find the right word. Insecurities is not the right word, but it's what I'm going with the offensive line and the way that they, you know, pull runners and the way that the quarterback orchestrates it. I don't see it happening. Not with people like Eli Howard, not with people like Broderick Washington, right on the line, crashing their undersized linemen. I expect a lot more sacks, I think, this week. Expect a lot more discombobulation in the backfield.
I guess I should clear up, like, 200 yards total.
You don't get to go back. For the Tyler game? Said 200 yards. I don't know. You're the one who made
I mean, most
standard.
Of that's going to come in garbage time, right? I mean,
well, that's what we thought last
gonna
week.
It's going to come out in garbage time.
That's what we thought last week. Yeah, and Montana State still didn't get 200.
Y'all thought it would happen last week. I wouldn't buy it.
I did.
None of
I was so wrong. I was so wrong.
Here comes Jacob. Jacob. I was wrong, dude.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
The whole thing with that is, to me, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters who we throw out there. Second string, third string, fourth string, fifth string. I don't think it matters. I think we're going to stop them defensively on the run because that is what we have focused on as a team from day one. Stopping the run, focus on the trenches. I just don't think that UTEP has the talent to compete with that. All right, especially in garbage time. When, you know, if they're still trotting out their first team guys, we're coming in with fresh guys that are still better than their offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, you do have a point because, I mean, largely the reason why they beat Houston Baptist, to me, from what I saw, is they just warmed down. It got to a point where Houston Baptist didn't have anybody. And eventually, you know, obviously, a UTEP just grinding style is going to wear on you. So I think that's how they did win the game. Just like Jeremy said, they had the ball last. Again, I think I'm giving it to them just due to the fact that I think 200 yards is feasible for any Division I program. It should be. But that's all
they're
they
so
have.
Bad.
And they don't even have that.
All right. Well, no, let's talk about stop. Let's talk about the wide receivers for a second so we can understand the depravity of the offense as a whole. Four wide receivers for UTEP. There are a number of wide receivers that saw receptions last game, but at most we have Trayshawn Wolf, who's a sophomore, had two receptions for 96 yards. Had the lone touchdown. We have senior Alan Busey, two receptions, 57 yards. Junior Forrest McKee with one reception for 40 yards. And junior Devon Cooper, one reception, 35 yards. To me, reading this, seeing the box score and all of that, you can see that UTEP banks on the mid-deep range for passing. I don't think they have a legitimate short passing game. They just hope that the defensive backs are unaware or unprepared, and he can Jones can find somebody in the open for a big gain. Like, their average was 13.5 yards per catch last game. Do they get that? Because if what we're talking about right now is, okay, we have the unstoppable defense, rush defense of Texas Tech against Montana State, and now soon to be against a worse team than Montana State, UTEP. Now that you've taken away the run game from UTEP, who loves to bank on that for not only time of possession, but because it seems to be where the most depth in their roster is, how does the wide receiver game shape up for UTEP? I mean, is this something that you think they can rely on? Because with the stats, it looks like it's kind of a last resort. I mean, you see the run game is really – and that's not to say because – or excuse me, they are pretty balanced because there was about 250 or 240 yards from passing and like 260 from rushing all in all. but this is not something that they seem to rely on. Tyler, do we expect for the wide receiver game? I can't remember. I've talked so long. I can't remember whose argument was where. Tyler thinks more people, or there will be more rushes, or there will be more yards by rushing. But if we shut it down, like Jacob's saying, we have such depth in our roster. If we shut it down, how much stock should we put in this wide receiver game?
I will just, direct your question to the highlight that I saw of Brandon Jones's throw into the end zone of a wide receiver that was triple covered. And it was horrible. It was absolutely noodle arm-esque, and Houston Baptist picked it off. Their wide receivers are zero threat. We can move on to the next topic.
Jacob, are you with that consensus?
Yeah, pretty much. I will say one thing though. I think a lot of their big gains on the receivers came from their receivers being Division I caliber, and Houston Baptist's cornerbacks and skill players not being Division I caliber. So that's about all there is. And whenever they face up against actual Division I players, they'll see what's up.
That's it. That's the tweet.
That's all.
That's all. Okay, cool. So UTEP offensively, I think in summation, pretty run heavy, but you can expect Texas Tech's defense the way that we're built now, especially under the Matt Wells era, of focusing on stopping the run, which you damn well better believe that we're going to do our best against a team like UTEP when we have teams that are still seriously coming out in these early games like Oklahoma, showing that the run game is like an extreme threat of their offense. You gotta stop it against a team like UTEP. So let's transition to the defense, which I have significantly less notes on. Tyler, Jacob, I think you mentioned it earlier. Why do I have such few notes on the defense?
Because the only players that are decent are their safeties, because nobody else can tackle anybody.
Yes! Oh my gosh. Yeah. When you see that, this is a good, just fun fact for everybody ever looking at box scores. If you see that defensive backs are making the most tackles on a team, specifically safeties, that means that A, their linemen aren't getting the beat on the rush. B, their linebackers aren't aware or aren't in position to stop a run or a pass. And so C, these safeties, given their name, are the last resort. So if these are the people on the team that are making the most tackles, you're giving up too. You're just not doing it right. Tyler, do you have any insights on this?
I think in my game preview, I sum it up pretty good, is that Houston Baptist had 300 yards passing on UTEP and two touchdowns. And that's all you really need to know about the defense of UTEP. That is literally it. Again, send tweet. Like, that's it. Because this group is terrible. And not only that, they're coached by some terrible guys in the first place. So they're not really setting them up for success. And I guess I'll get to that later. But yeah, this is bad.
I think even through our Montana State preview, we could highlight players that were adequate or above adequate at their positions, people that were just under-recruited and then kind of have that chip on their shoulder. Afonso, the running back, last game, I mean, even though we stuffed him for majority of it, you could see that he's a pretty talented player. There was a number of times, two or three, I say a number like it's a lot, there were a couple of times where he broke through the linemen and was able to get to that second level of defense, and just shows kind of, that there were star players on that team, the people that they could rely on. And when you look at this UTEP offense and defense, you're just like, shit. There's nothing that relying heavily on playing as a team unit in this rebuilding phase, which is just, that sucks when you have to go against a team like Texas Tech, who is, in my estimation, on the revenge tour last season, especially for Bowman, who had to miss a lot of it due to missing an entire lung and all that. How does somebody like Bowman respond to the frustrations of last season in a game like this with defensive backs who are the main force of, and not even a force, the main, you know, that I guess what I'm trying to ask here, and I'll be crass. How much is Texas Tech offense about to tear up UTEP, Jacob?
I mean, it's going to be like last week. We're going to run like five different plays and he's still going to throw for like 600 yards in a story.
God, I love these short stories. Tyler.
Yeah, it's death by a thousand cuts offense that David Yosin used last week. This is going to be, I think Bowman may have 400 yards by halftime.
Here's an important question, because the seriousness of this is that UTEP doesn't have a defense that's going to stop Texas Tech. I mean, we're a team hell-bent on scoring the ball, and a team that sucks at defending even an average team, a below-average team of Houston Baptist, you're not gonna stop. So a good question to have is, what is Yost's game plan? How does he – he mentioned an oppressor last – or throughout this week that – the tempo was great, but it's not where they want to be, and they aren't getting the ball to as many players as they thought they would, or they're not passing around as much or getting as many looks to key players like Vasher. What do you think Yost's main focal points for this game and building up towards that Arizona game will be? Tyler, you can lead this off.
Throw to the open, dude. That's all that matters. And honestly, that's probably what they were doing last weekend. Throw to the open, dude. If Vasher's not there, I don't care who touches the ball. Just throw it to the open guy. I think that's kind of what they were doing with, I think David Yost thinks of a screen. I took a quote from, I think, Pro Football Focus did a special on him, and he basically said, I've never seen the team's best tackler, maybe not the person who had the most tackles like UTEP, but like their best tackler play corner ever. And he's like, so I look at screens, and we ran a lot of screens last Saturday. He looks at screens as much of an extension of the run game. And honestly, just attack them from the weakest person that can't tackle. Like you got to. And so I think that's really what the offensive game plan should probably be here too. Given that their safeties have, I guess, the most experience tackling, attack those corners and go over the middle too. I think you could probably open it up a little bit too. We didn't see anything over the top too much, but I think this weekend you'll probably see some things over the top.
I think that's a fair general statement. Jacob, do you think that there's anything that Yost or position groups in general are going to be looking to get better at? Tyler mentioned going over the top. We didn't see a lot of deep passes from Bowman, and I expect that was by design, as we had mentioned. Do you expect that to maybe be an element in this week's game?
No. Honestly, I just think it's going to be the same as last week. We're going to work on, they got those base like five or six routes that they really want him to run and focus on. I feel like he's going to run and focus on those, and then that's all I really want him to do this week. And then next week they may open it up a little bit, kind of building up to the Oklahoma State game. But I just think their main focus right now is to get these five, six plays down. That way, whenever it comes to Big 12 time, you don't have to worry about learning new plays. You got those down.
You got them perfect.
Yeah, that's great. I think I'm really big about the foundational play style, and it's something that they kind of coached at Utah State, and I'm glad they brought it over. Kingsbury's playlist was quite advanced. It's pretty big, and kudos to people like Bowman for being able to soak all that up and write it out. But I think when it comes down to it, especially in crunch time of serious games, it's the foundational plays, you have to like nail this play every time you do it. That's going to be what's going to make the difference. And I expect one of those plays to be a tight end seam up the middle, because many a games I've watched, and you think like, oh man, how's this team going to do it? And they hit their tight end with a seam up the middle like two or three times, and it gets them 70 yards. And you're like, oh shit, why don't we do that? So the key point is that the foundational plays matter, and I'm glad that they're focusing on it here. So expect all those super awesome deep balls in our Oklahoma game, but not sooner is my guess. So what we're going to do now is make up for last week, because, God, I am sorry. We did not do a Big 12 pick'em. Not that it really mattered outside of maybe the Oklahoma game and apparently the Iowa State game. But this week we're going to be doing a roundtable of choices for the Big 12 games, as well as, or once we wrap that up with the Tech game, I'm going to get our keys of the game from the dudes. So first game up, we have Kansas State taking on Bowling Green. Kansas State is favored by about 23.5 points. Tyler, is this a good, what do you think? Who's going to win this game?
Okay, Kansas State. Yeah, I think they'll win. I'm not sure about covering, but I think they'll win.
Jacob?
I think they'll win, and yeah, sure, they'll cover.
All right, okay, so that's an easy one, and most of these are probably going to be because we're just kind of taking another week off, apparently. Here's a good one. Possibly the worst team in the conference, maybe not if Iowa State keeps doing their thing. West Virginia playing Missouri in Missouri. Missouri picked to win 13.5 points. Tyler.
I got Mizzou. I don't know how Kelly Bryant had a stat line like he did, and Mizzou lost last week. But they did. They found a way to lose. I'm picking them this week in Morgantown. I think Neil Brown has a long, after that showing at JMU, has a long road ahead of him.
No, it's in Missouri this week.
Oh, it's in Mizzou? Oh, okay. Well, yep. All right. Still sticking with it.
Strong answer, no matter the locale. Jacob.
Let me tell you a little something about Kelly Bryant. He's a good quarterback, all right? But you want to know something? The rest of his team is going to find a way to lose that game. I'm going West Virginia.
Wow, okay. I guess I should be picking these two. Kansas State, first one. Man, Jacob, you make me want to pick West Virginia because for the lulls, West Virginia, and it's a close one. Okay, next up we have Baylor playing UT San Antonio, and the line right now is Baylor by 26. Tyler.
Bears, and they don't cover.
Good Lord. Jacob.
Baylor's going to win by 10.
Good grief. I'm all in on the Bears this season. I think that Brewer guy's pretty special. So Baylor covers and, you know, kicks UTSA's bird butts all the way back to the San Antonio. Okay, next is a good one. Oklahoma taking on South Dakota. Oklahoma to win by 39.5. Tyler.
OU covers.
Hurts magic. Okay, Jacob.
I'm going to go with an unconventional pick here. I think that South Dakota loses by 38 points. So they're not going to cover, but it'd be close.
For a second, I thought you were about to lose your mind.
I was like, man.
That's going to be bad. Nobody will listen.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Gotcha journalism. I'm really hype on Jalen Hurts right now, not only because of his performance, but especially because of his post-game interview. He just did not seem happy with that win. And I can understand where he was coming from with the number of areas on the offense that Houston was able to stop. This is a guy coming from a championship caliber school, as we all know, and I'm sure he wants to carry that championship caliber heart to Oklahoma. Not like they need it, but yes, Oklahoma wins, and if Hurts is in for three quarters, they cover. If he's in for half, they don't cover. Next up, Kansas against a rival of Texas Tech in baseball, correct me if I'm wrong, Coastal Carolina. Kansas picked to win by 8. Tyler.
No, they are definitely a rival. God, I can't get over that. No, we didn't beat them. I am going to go Kansas, but they do not cover.
Do not. Okay, so maybe a field goal, or, well, I guess if it's 8 points, they can just be one touchdown.
Yeah, it's gonna be a field goal.
Oh, okay, so pretty close. No faith in Les Miles, Jacob.
I'm gonna go a step further than that and say I have no faith in old Lessie up there. I think Coastal Carolina is gonna come in and upset the Jayhawks.
What?
If only that was more of a hot take than it probably is. It's like an easy bet. I'm not sold on Les Miles, but I am sold on the athletes that they have there right now against a team like Coastal Carolina. So I say that Jayhawks moved 2-0, and they feel pretty dang good about themselves. I don't know if they'll cover. I say that they'll win by a touchdown. It all comes crashing down. Next up, Oklahoma State versus McNeese. Oklahoma State picked to win by 37.5. Tyler.
37.5. Man. Of course, I'm going to Oklahoma State, but I'll give them the cover. Yeah.
Jacob?
They won't cover, but they'll win. They'll probably win by 30.
You know, Oklahoma State's going to win. I picked them. I am unsure how to think about a 37.5 point cover when they have a team like Oklahoma covering only 39.5, with, I would argue, more offensive weapons, or better, more talented offensive weapons. That just goes down to who's better, McNeese or South Dakota, and I don't know, and I don't care to look it up right now. Oklahoma State's offense is the real deal, but their defense is absolute trash. So, win, but don't cover. Okay, here's a good one. Might be the best one of the weekend. It's going to be game day, Texas, or let's go LSU at Texas. Game day, chance for Tom Herman to show people Texas is back, but he's got to go against a crazy, crazy talented LSU team who is looking for a chance at redemption in a number of facets. Myself being part Cajun, I am actually a fan of LSU, and I have no shame and picking who I'm going to pick after these guys. Tyler.
Oh, man. So me and Jacob were talking about this pre-pod. And,
oh, wait. Nope. Let me. I totally missed the line. The line is LSU 6.5. Okay, Tyler.
Yeah. So me and Jacob were talking about this pre-pod. And I have Texas currently. I have them winning outright. I do think... this is prime upset special that vaults Texas to, you know, unbelievable heights in the polls, because, oh my gosh, we want Texas to be back so bad. I told Jacob that I wanted to sleep on it, but I think I'm going to go ahead and make my pick final. I think I'm going to go Texas winning outright.
Jacob.
I'm chomping at the bit over here. All right. So let me preface by saying this, guys. All right. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be in Austin. But the Big 12 can go ahead and find me, because horns down, baby. LSU's going to go in there and beat them. Let's go.
Okay. Do they cover? Do they cover, though?
No.
No.
I don't think they
cover.
They
only get three.
They might not. All I know is I think LSU's going in there horns down.
They only get three, but they win. Damn it. They win. Oh, God. Okay. We got one horns up, one horns down. Let me tell you something. If you have family like I have, and you can't understand a damn thing they say, except, go Tigers, you realize that there is something special about LSU, and there is something special about LSU this year. One of the main things that brings me to the pick I'm about to pick is that against Louisiana Tech, Texas allowed Louisiana Tech's defensive line and linebacker at one point to get to Ehlinger. If Louisiana Tech can put Ehlinger on the ground, you better believe LSU was about to walk into the DKR and make Ellinger just eat turf all night. That's not to say Ellinger won't have a good night statistically, and of course he's going to, because ESPN needs that fuel right now. But I think that LSU comes out strong, proves to Texas that they are not DBU, but in fact LSU has more talented defensive backs, both statistically and just by the eye test. Because if you guys saw that awesome video where the Texas defender thought he downed a pass to LaTeX receiver, didn't, but celebrated anyways as this Louisiana Tech guy makes it for another 10 yards. Oh, baby. They are not ready. I have no idea whether or not LSU's quarterback game is going to be as strong as it needs to be, but I know that the rest of their team is ready to kind of pick up the pace as they have done in the SEC for the past couple of years. So LSU, and I say that they beat the spread, it's going to be 2 touchdowns, and one of them will be defensive. Lock it in. So here we are, to the last pick, to the only one that really matters to this pod, to the only one that really matters to our listeners. Thank you all for being here with us and lasting this whole time as we try to give respect to a team like UTEP, but really just try to hit our minute mark. Guys, Texas Tech, UTEP, Lubbock, Texas, 7 p.m., night game in the Jones. Texas Tech is favored by 34. Tyler.
Texas Tech covers 56-21.
Ooh, 56. All right. I like it. Jacob.
Y'all want to hear a real hot take?
I'm afraid.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Y'all can sense it. Here it comes. It's the fourth quarter. The ball snapped out of his hand. And Jackson Tyner throws his first Texas Tech touchdown. All right. Final score, 62-17, Texas Tech. And the crowd goes crazy for hashtag Tyner Hive.
Stop trying to make it happen. It won't happen.
I hate how much you kind of sounded like David Spade there for a second. You guys know who that is? It's so
yes.
Nuts.
Oh my God.
I'm going to listen to that again tomorrow or whatever. Oh. And I'm like, that's David Spade. He was on the Air Raid podcast. That's nuts. Okay, so 2 yeses. And Jacob, did you give a score?
62-17.
Or is it just 7-0 with
62-17.
Okay. 17. Tyler, what was your UTEP score? How many did they get?
56-21.
21. Good Lord. You're really big into that garbage time BS.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I believe in Jacob's assessment that this is no longer a garbage time kind of team. I think our defense is too talented the further you go down comparatively to UTEP. Maybe not comparatively in the Big 12. And I think that our offense is just too good, especially compared to UTEP's defense. So give me Texas Tech, give me 2-0, and give me at least a margin of victory by 50 points. I'm going to say 53, and here comes 0.
Like pitching the shutout.
Do you like that? I mean... It's got to come at some point this season. Otherwise, what validation do we have for the summer? Against a team like UTEP? If we held Montana State, and if listen, we've been talking this whole time, Montana State's run game is better. Casey Bauman wasn't the worst passer. UTEP sucks. UTEP doesn't have a passer.
Yeah,
UTEP doesn't have a real run game.
But I feel like UTEP has a quarterback that can actually play a little bit that they'll eventually throw in the game.
Hmm. I guess we'll see. But I'm confident in Texas Tech's defense, and I'm confident in the nighttime games at the Jones. They're just something different. UTEP is not ready in their rebuilding year. Texas Tech, unanimous across the board. And we'll revisit these picks. At least we'll revisit the good ones probably in the next preview pod. I'm sure Albie and Dylan will get to it as well in the post. Abley and Dylan. Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so let's just really quickly, I'll split it up to make it easier. Jacob, what are the defensive keys to the game?
stop the run, stop the run, and stop the run again.
I'm all in on that. Luke, Thomas covered the last name. Lucas!
Tyler. Man.
That's just a PTSD from athletics. Tyler, what is the offensive keys to the game?
Keep Alan Bowman healthy.
That's our offensive key for the rest of the season.
That's it. That's all that matters. It.
All right. Well, because you used it up against UTEP, you cannot say that ever again. So congratulations. You played yourself.
Damn.
That is it for us today, guys. That is it. Are you guys happy? If you enjoyed this preview, be sure to like, subscribe, give us some comments. We love the feedback. And you can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid podcast on your favorite streaming medium. Jacob, where are you on Twitter?
I am not only on my personal Twitter at @JacobHarris_55, but I am on the Air Raid podcast Twitter on occasion. Our handle is @AirRaidPodcast. So y'all go follow both of me.
Oh, God, the vanity. All right. Tyler, where can they find you on Twitter, where you're always tweeting? And, you know, I don't know how many people look at your stuff because there's not a lot of response, but, man, you're the Energizer Bunny, and some of it's really great.
Hashtag pay the man.
Hashtag pay the man. If you want some hot takes about Popeye's chicken sandwiches, I can be found at @TylerL_VTM. I'm still looking for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. And it's turned into desperation at this point. I've got a toddler that I could trade in. Very good. He's very smart. I think he's going to NASA. I will trade it for a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Guys, Popeye's chicken sandwich. Help Tyler find one. He will give you his toddler, which, if you remember, he does not enjoy the smell of the toddler's diapers, but apparently he's going to be an astrophysicist. So cash in while you can. For me, find me at Viva the Matadors, where we have all of this content and more. So for Jacob, Tyler, and myself, this has been the Preview Pod for UTEP. Stay wrecked, people.